This episode is brought to you by Jack Daniels. Jack Daniels and music are made for each other. They share a rhythm in the craft of making something timeless, while being a part of legendary nights, from backyard jams to sold-out arenas. There's a song in every toast. Please drink responsibly. Responsibility.org. Jack Daniels and Old No. 7 are registered trademarks. Tennessee Whiskey, 40% alcohol by volume. Jack Daniel Distillery, Lynchburg, Tennessee.
Pro Savings Days are back at Lowe's. My Lowe's Pro Rewards members save even more with limited-time doorbuster deals. Save $5 on 24-count Contractor's Choice 42-gallon trash bags, now just $14.78. Plus, get your choice select DeWalt Elite Series saw blades for $9.98. Not a Pro Rewards member? Join for free today at Lowe's. Valid through 9/17. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Some days call for working up a sweat, working on your passion, and endless action. Ditch the glitch with Liquid IV's new Energy Multiplier Sugar-Free. Refreshing flavors like strawberry kiwi and blackberry lemonade. Scientifically formulated to support physical energy, hydration, focus, mood, and social stamina. Liquid IV's new Energy Multiplier Sugar-Free. Hydrating energy. Tap the banner to learn more.
There's a reason Chevy trucks are known for their dependability, because they show up no matter the weather, push forward no matter the terrain, and deliver. That's why Chevrolet has earned more dependability awards for trucks than any other brand in 2025, according to J.D. Power. Because in every Chevy truck, like every Chevy driver, dependability comes standard. Visit Chevy.com to learn more. Chevrolet received the highest total number of awards among all the trucks in the J.D. Power 2025 U.S. Vehicle Dependability Study. Awards based on 2022 models. Newer models may be shown. Visit jdpower.com/awards for more details. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive.
Hi, this is Tony Ruggiero here on The Tour Coach. Thanks for joining in and thanks for following along. It is my mission to bring you some of the best instructors, the players, mental coaches, fitness experts, everything you need to play better golf, all of the people I find fascinating that can give you information to help you in your pursuit as a teacher or as a player. It's all here on Dew Sweeper TV or wherever it is you get your podcast. Thanks for watching The Tour Coach podcast, and hopefully this helps you teach better, play better, and enjoy the game. All right, so joining me here, it's Masters Week on the Tour Coach. I couldn't do this without having my boy JP on during Masters Week. I only teach good enough to go like on a rotation. I'm kind of like those major courses that get cycled through every few years. JP's there like clockwork. How many you got in this year, JP?
I have three players that are, you know, I'm very fortunate to have three players there. Actually, to be honest, Tony, you're fortunate. Anytime you have a golfer playing the Masters, it's a big deal.
No, it is. And I've always said, like, the coolest experiences for me and some of my best memories doing what we do have been there. And I wouldn't trade a few weeks ago, month ago, whenever it was, the Cognizant down here. Smiley came out to Old Palm and we worked and did some stuff and we reminisced. Like, I wouldn't trade those memories of riding down Magnolia Lane with him on Sunday, being in the last group, for anything. I mean, it was cool. So I'm very fortunate, but you're doing a hell of a job as always. And I thought this is for Tuesday of Masters Week. How the heck have you, when do you start preparing your players for the Masters? Like, how far ahead, and is it different with each player? And then from there, like, as you go into the week, how do you change what you do with them? I'm just curious.
I think it's different for each player. You know, Brian's in a different scenario relative to where Patton Gazzara is. For example, in his career, you know, Brian's going to have 4 years more of this run. And, you know, Brian has had to treat the season differently to what he used to do. You know, he's just had a – you know, it's some difficult things from a more personal perspective. The lady that looks after his children going to have some difficulties, and so he's had to contend with that. But also, Brian, you know, his back's not against the wall. He's not having to go to Hawaii and Palm Springs and get himself off to a really good start. So to some degree, it's a kind of a new world for Brian, and he's definitely, you know, he's starting to respond. He's starting to, you know, I'm seeing real signs of life with his driver. And you know, he's working hard. You know, Patton's in a different sort of scenario. Won the golf tournament in California in the fall.
Right.
He's very, very excited to be there. He's kind of searching for form just a little bit. He's headed to San Antonio this week. You know, Harris played, he played in Houston, finished, you know, in the top 20, in a good spot. So again, yes, you're right. I mean, they're all in slightly different situations. If they're going to have big weeks at Augusta, they're all going to do it in completely different ways. You know, Harris English is a terrific long iron player. He's becoming a much, much better driver of the ball. We're trying to make sure his putting runs into form. Brian Harman, as we know, is an incredibly accurate driver of the ball. He's not short by any stretch of the imagination, but when, you know, if he's going to play well at Augusta, he's going to have to wedge it really well. He's going to have to manage his ball really well. Patton Gazzard is one of the best iron players in the world when he's on form. So, you know, to your point, they're very different. Trying to lay out, you know, like a vision for how each of those boys would play well there, I think is, you know, that's what I sort of try to do and align that with what they're doing with their golf swings. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see how Patton and Brian play in San Antonio. I'm down in Miami as we chat. I know this is going out a little bit later, but I'll work with Harris over the weekend and head up there on Sunday and hope to be of some assistance to him. You know, it's a big week. You know, it's a very special place. It's easy to get overawed by it as a coach and a player. You know, but at the end of the day, we've got a job to do. We've got to go in there, get them really well prepared, and then get on with it.
I've always thought. Tell me what you think about this, but I've always thought that trying to treat it like it's every other week is wrong because it is a different week and it's different. I mean, it does mean more, right? Like it's a special place. And, you know, and so to me, what you do so well, just listening to you and knowing you, is you understand each player's different and they're in different places. And I think that's a key as you coach players through that. I mean, I've had players done well. I've had players that I didn't do very good with there. But I think that's a big key to that week to me as a coach is understanding where the player is. And like you talked about, they have each have different pathways to being successful there and you have to prepare them differently.
It is a very different week. A couple of things that strike me. I remember when I was working for Charles Schwartzel, 2018, you know, and it's been fun spending time with him here in Miami again. And, you know, he was so kind. Like I'm a golf coach in Northern Ireland. I'm sitting in the champions locker room with Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson thinking, what on earth am I doing here with these,
right,
with these guys? And, you know, Charles said to me, this should be the easiest putt to make because it's a smaller field. Within that smaller field, there are some players who are, you know, getting towards the very ends of their careers. And although we've seen Fred Couples and, you know, in years gone by, Ray Floyd and guys playing really well, you know, there's still a fairly large cut. And there are some guys who you would expect not to do just so well. So it was one of those things that it put a little bit of a light on me. I'm thinking to myself, goodness, I never, ever thought of it in that way. And then when you combine that with the fact that it's a very long week, like we're going to go up there on Sunday with Harris. We're going to work Sunday, probably play 18 holes. The practice facilities, as you know, Tony, are unbelievable. Awesome. Being around the facility is unbelievable. The players are so well catered for. They're so well taken care of, but it's a big old golf course and it's a long golf course to walk and it's very easy for them to get tired. And then we got the par three tournament on the Wednesday, which is an amazing thing that the Augusta National put on for the players. So oftentimes I try and get them to a point where on Tuesday evening, they're pretty much done with their preparation. They can go and enjoy Wednesday and then the tournament begins. But it's a long run up to when the tournament gets going. And it's just such a special place. And I think we all as golfers, we all fall in love with it. But falling in love with it too much can add to the fatigue and the sort of the mental, you know, the mental toil of the whole week. So trying to make sure for someone like Harris, there's a really clear plan in place. And then from there, we try and execute it as best we can and see where the cards fall.
How different are the plans for each of your players? Like what do each of your players have to do well to have a chance this next week?
Strange little things. You know, Harris really enjoys preparing with the perfect putter. For those of you listening don't know what the perfect putter is, it's a It's a device that Ramon Vizcanza's father came up with, and it kind of runs golf balls down, and then you can really get a really clear view of the break. Augusta, the you know, the leadership there don't like devices like that on their greens, which is, you know, it is what it is. We have to respect what they do, and you know, and it's just one of those little things that kind of annoys Harris's preparation. You know, they rake the bunkers a little bit differently. They mow the greens, or sorry, they mow the fringes a little bit differently. So there's just a lot of little nuances that go in there. So for Harris, that little bit of preparation's a little different. Trying to make sure he's really comfortable from sloping lies. It's not a strength of his. We're going to go down on Sunday, and we're going to make sure we hit some shots up onto the ninth green, hit some shots from the sloping lie on 10, figure out, you know, how close he needs to be to 13 to be able to go for it. From Brian's perspective, we've already touched on a little bit, just making sure, you know, he's done a great job with his wedges, making sure his wedge control is really, really good. You know, I think with someone like Brian, with the quality of player that he is, it's almost like just making sure that he can recognize that he's done some really good hard work and he can free up a little bit. And then with Patton, you know, Patton's distance control with his mid to long irons is amazing. You know, when you look at Augusta, 175 to 225, you got a lot of approach shots in that sort of range. And that is kind of one of his superpowers. And again, if he can really plug into that and free up a little bit on the greens, you know, that would be his path to success.
You know, it's funny how, to me, the golf course has changed over the years. You know, when I was coming up, I'm a little older than you, but, you know, I mean, it wasn't as long and wasn't, and, you know, obviously there was no first cut, and you always thought about it was like, you know, guys like Crenshaw and great putters and stuff like that. But that golf course has become a very demanding golf course, ball striking wise, which to me, you know, does hurt some of the older players that still play. And some of the folks that are hanging on where they're still getting in, but maybe not as great week in, week out. That to me does actually like shrink the field a little bit because I mean, that golf course is hard.
There's no question. You know, it's got an awful lot harder. You know, it's been interesting being with Louis Oosthuizen this week, and I think we'd all agree that the Masters without Louis Oosthuizen in it is not just as good as it is whenever Louis Oosthuizen's in it. I mean, watching his golf swing and his absolute love for that golf tournament and everything that it's given him. You know, we've seen him make a few holes in one. We've seen him make an albatross down at the second. We've seen him in a playoff with Bubba Watson, where Bubba hit one of the most incredible golf shots, really, in major championship history. He managed to hook a 52-degree wedge. I don't know how much he hooked it, 50 or 60 yards around the trees down there at number 10. But, you know, I do think the golf course is different. You know, Louis said to me, you know, it's just like, I don't know that I could really be as competitive there anymore because – you know, the second shot on five, you know, he used to hit six or seven. I know he's not as long as he used to be, but now I think if he got in there with a 7-wood or a 5-wood or something like that, there's a lot of golf holes that are really stretched. But then that's, you know, that's the modern game of golf. It's interesting seeing it, Tony, these days. You know, I feel like maybe the necessity to hit it as far as we were thinking we had to hit it in 2015 is started being mitigated a little bit because we're recognizing that some of these really, really long hitters that are coming on are really struggling with their distance control, with their gapping and things like that. And that's something I've been talking about for a while. And, you know, I've been very fortunate to start working with Aldik Podgaiter and Christo Lamprecht. Very, very long players, incredibly talented guy. But, you know, it's hard when you're at 125 to 130 miles an hour club head speed. When you're hitting a 7-iron at 200 yards and you maybe hit your 8-iron 182 yards and then all of a sudden you land at 190. I mean, that's a legitimate golf shot. You have to hit at 190. So what are you going to do? Because you're going to, you know, it's hard to take 8 or 10 off a 7-iron and you're not going to stretch an 8-iron 8 or 10. And, you know, I'm seeing different examples of that. And I remind a lot of the guys that Scottie Scheffler, who's, you know, he's put on a, whatever, a 3-year golf clinic to all of us. I mean, it's incredible what he's done. And his ball speed's 175 to 177, and he's kind of comfortable within that. So I think we are seeing some sort of window there. And I'm sure that, you know, these guys at Augusta are much smarter than I've ever been. I mean, they're going to come out with some amazing things this year. I think we're going to see every swing from every player with ball data.
Right,
from
I saw that. Player.
You know, those guys are probably looking at it going, you know, maybe we're going to be able to come to the end of this lengthening process and begin to look at control and spin and things that we would have looked at when you and I were growing up playing golf. And, you know, I think that's going to make the game stronger.
At Sierra, discover great deals on top brand workout gear, like high quality walking shoes, which might lead to another discovery.
40,000 steps, baby. Who's on top now, Karen?
You've taken the office step challenge a step too far. Don't worry, though. Sierra also has yoga gear. It might be a good place to find your zen. Discover top brands at unexpectedly low prices. Sierra, let's get moving.
Eczema isn't always obvious, but it's real. And so is the relief from Ebglyss. After an initial dosing phase, about 4 in 10 people taking Ebglyss achieved itch relief and clear or almost clear skin at 16 weeks. And most of those people maintain skin that's still more clear at 1 year with monthly dosing.
Ebglyss, lebrikizumab, LBKZ, a 250 milligram per 2 milliliter injection, is a prescription medicine used to treat adults and children 12 years of age and older who weigh at least 88 pounds or 40 kilograms with moderate to severe eczema, also called atopic dermatitis, that is not well controlled with prescription therapies used on the skin or topicals, or who cannot use topical therapies. Ebglyss can be used with or without topical corticosteroids. Don't use if you're allergic to Ebglyss. Allergic reactions can occur that can be severe. Eye problems can occur. Tell your doctor if you have new or worsening eye problems. You should not receive a live vaccine when treated with Ebglyss. Before starting Ebglyss, tell your doctor if you have a parasitic infection.
Searching for real relief? Ask your doctor about Ebglyss and visit ebglyss.lilly.com or call 1-800-LILLY-RX or 1-800-545-5979.
What do you think? Obviously, Scotty does lots great, right? But his success, he's had success everywhere, but the way he plays Augusta, what do you think, what is it about his game that makes him so good there? Other than everything.
Well, I think that he has no discernible weakness in his game. I think that's one of the things that Augusta, I mean, it was funny, I was listening to Nick Faldo talk about it, and he was saying, you know, you could all of a sudden play three holes and be five over. And Scotty, we've seen him hit, you know, incredible little bumps into banks and spin control with wedges and excellent iron shots, great distance control, shapes the golf ball well, very versatile and dependable driver, much, much better putter. I mean, I just think he really does have the whole package. So there's not one little area of his game that gets exposed. And I think Augusta National, like a lot of the great golf courses in the world, they do tend to expose any area of your game that's a little bit weak. So for him, you know, he goes in there in a scenario where, you know, if he does get himself out of position, he's got the skills to get back into position. You know, if he does need to hold a 10-footer for par, he's got the skills to be able to do that. And I think that you know, to some degree is the definition of a complete player, which he of course is.
Yeah. And I mean, to me, the one area is I've had a couple amateurs play in the Masters. And, you know, to me, the one thing I always stressed to them was like your skill set short game wise has to be at a different level there than it does at other places. To me, that's the one area to me that I see some folks get exposed. Like you've got to be able to play a lot of different shots. And to me, you also have to be able to play smart golf shots around the green and also know when there's shots that you just can't hit there.
Yeah, no question. You know, one of my good friends, Phil Kenyon, you know, Phil works and done a tremendous job with Scotty. And you know, I hope he doesn't mind me sharing this. He watched Scotty around the green when they first started. They were kind of getting to know one another. And Phil said, it's nothing. I've never seen anything like the versatility, the skill, the creativity that he has around the greens. And that's, you know, I think sometimes we sort of overlook that. We think back to like Seve and Tiger. But when you look at Scottie Scheffler, the shots he hits around the greens, the ability he has to hit the perfect shot with a perfect landing spot, with a perfect spin, you know, he kind of does it all the time. And he does it with such he does it with such sort of simplicity that we all kind of go, oh, that looks easy. And then, you know, I went with my buddies to play Pinehurst a couple of weeks ago, and I was all over the bloody place. But, you know, and so I do think we sometimes underestimate the incredible skill of some of these players we watch these days. I think we get so much more access to them to some degree. But, you know, they're reading lies, and they're hitting little banks, and they're putting spin on the ball that most of us can't do. And I think Scotty's a great example of that.
No question about it. So last question, won't keep you. I know you're having a big time there. I wish I'd have stopped.
Listen, I came here. I was supposed to be here with you. I mean, you headed up north to get a shower to change your clothes.
Let me ask you this. What kind of odds could we have got that I'd be the most responsible one of the two of us and not in the bar?
That would be a zero.
I mean, this is like, it's like hitting the Mega Millions tonight, right here. taking your players out, not counting your players. You're not voting against anybody. Give me a few, because a lot of the people listen to this. Obviously, everybody's tuned in this week. What are some names you think, and is there anybody that maybe isn't on the tip of somebody's tongue that from you being out there and around there as much as you are, you're like, hey, this guy can do something this week?
Well, I think the obvious contender is Rory McIlroy. You know, Rory's
that's what I thought.
He's done an incredible job really since the fall of like realigning his golf swing, becoming a little bit more neutral. I think he is managing his golf ball an awful lot better. You know, we saw the player jump. Rory's a very, very underrated chipper, pitcher, and bunker player. He's an incredibly gifted player in all aspects. But really, when things are a little bit shaky, he can really get it back into position. You know, he went to work with Michael Bannon, his coach, on making sure his golf swing was a little bit more lined up. And we've seen, the best run almost of any player in history. You know, from January to April on the PGA Tour, he's won some big golf tournaments already. I hope he responds to the pressure of the Masters by, you know, really being honest and forthright. You know, he's no longer a kid. He's not going to have another 15 goes at this. And I hope that he goes out there and says to people, I really want to win this golf tournament, and I'm really well prepared. And if I don't win it by Sunday, I'm going to be pretty upset, and I'm going to give it my best shot, which is not the narrative that he's shared in the past. And, you know, I think if he can do that, I think he's going to give himself a really good, I want to see him be aggressive and try and win the golf tournament. Obviously, Scheffler's going to have a chance, I would imagine.
Hard to picture he's not in the mix. It really is hard to picture he's not in the mix in some form or fashion.
It's hard to picture he's not in the mix. I would agree with that. I'm trying to think of some European players. I mean, Fleetwood has, you know, Fleetwood's worked with Butch now for the last couple of years. I think he's a phenomenal player. He hasn't become a serial winner just yet. I would kind of love to see Tommy Fleetwood really get amongst it in the Masters. I think his career almost depends on now him doing something special in some major championships.
Yep.
So, and I'm trying to think of some younger guys that are in and around it. I think it's a little bit too early for Xander when, you know, he's coming back from some difficulties.
When did making plans get this complicated? It's time to streamline with WhatsApp, the secure messaging app that brings the whole group together. Use polls to settle dinner plans, send event invites and pin messages so no one forgets mom's 60th, and never miss a meme or milestone, all protected with end-to-end encryption. It's time for WhatsApp. Message privately with everyone. Learn more at whatsapp.com.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. Checking off the boxes on your to-do list is a great feeling. And when it comes to checking off coverage, a State Farm agent can help you choose an option that's right for you. Whether you prefer talking in person, on the phone, or using the award-winning app, it's nice knowing you have help finding coverage that best fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised to see Rory and Scheffler right up in the mix. I know that sounds kind of cliche.
Yeah, but I think they're the two best players overall right now. And I love what you said about Rory's. Rory's my pick.
Jaakko Niemann spent a little bit of time with his caddy Gary Matthews this week. You know, Jaakko's his desire to continue to play the best golf that he can play all over the world. His ability to control his golf ball with his driver, control his irons. You know, he's a legit player. You know, some of the guys who don't follow the PGA Tour so much don't see what he's done, but you know, he's continued to put himself in a scenario where he's a, you know, I think every player on either of these tours, they go, you know, Jaakko Niemann's a top five, top 10 player in the world. So I wouldn't be surprised to see him do something. Yeah, it's going to be very interesting. I hope we get to see these fellas all play golf with one another a little bit more often. But that's well out of year and I hands. That Tony has something to do with.
Maybe they should put it in our hands. We probably could get it done. But
we could probably screw it up.
I'm going to tell you a sneak betting top 10 that would have huge odds this week because I walked 9 holes with them today. Phil Mickelson, the way he knows that golf course, the way he can chip and putt it, it's obviously what you said, a smaller field at the bottom of it. And he hammers that driver. He's figured out how he's gone after distance. I was impressed by it. I'm not saying if it was the Houston Open, I would take that bet or Valero. But on that golf course with that field, where to me it really requires knowing your way to how to get around that. I think he could be a sneaky good bet that, like, I don't know that it's going to be up there to win, but where people at the end are going, I mean, at X age, he finished 8th.
Well, when you look at the history behind that, like going back to what we talked about before, like Freddie Couples did that for years.
Yeah.
Ray Floyd did that for years. Jack Nicklaus did that for years. You know, they understand the golf course. They understand the nuances. They understand that they're going to make mistakes, but let's not make the mistakes too big. So I think to your point, you know, somebody like that, we've seen Tiger. I mean, Tiger had no real business winning it in 2019, but he went ahead and he kept not making mistakes. Everyone around him made mistakes. And then he eventually was a great champion. So I think you're right. You know, maybe Phil is where Freddie was in let's say 2005, 2000, those sort of 5 years, 5 to 10, where he's always on the leaderboard and can carve out a top 10.
What do you think about Rahm? What do you think about Rahm's chances this week?
You know, again, he hasn't been terrible since he made the move, but he hasn't shown us like Jaakko has shown us that he's responded in a way. You know, when you think about it, I don't know that Jaakko went to college in the United States. He had a little bit more of an international upbringing. John went to college. He's very used to systematic golf. So I would imagine he's probably still getting used to a different system. There's no doubting his quality. So, you know, when you've done things like John Rahm has done, it wouldn't surprise me if he won the golf tournament by 2 or 3 strokes, but at the same time, he hasn't shown us that he's ready to do that.
What about Koepka? Last one I'll pick your brain on. I'm just kidding.
Like, the mentality that he has for major championship golf is, I mean, he's probably got the best mentality for major championship golf. You know, he and I, we shared a bit of a chat today. Still very friendly with his caddy, Ricky Elliott.
He's great.
Ricky's the best. You know, Brooks is a warrior. He's one of the epitomes of a sportsman who plays golf. Mm-hmm. So kind of like Rahm, Tony. I think it wouldn't be surprising to me if he was leading by 2 going into Sunday. A legend of the game and someone, you know, he's navigated this whole change in things and he does his things his own way, but. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised you'd play West.
JP, you're the best. I kept you long enough. I've seen you sneak a drink every now and then during this thing. So just a wee bit. So
well, Tony, it would have been only better if we had done this right here together, but we'll do it again.
We'll do it soon. I'll find my way back. JP, good luck to you and your guys. Man, you know we're all pulling for them. And good luck this week, and we'll talk soon, brother.
Bye, buddy.
See you.